It's been a while, been several years since we've had snow stay on the ground as long as it has this time. And when it gets like that, I just want to see dirt. Growing up, my family had a mail order nursery. So we sold strawberry plants, blueberry plants, fruit trees, asparagus fruits. Yeah, it was Rainer Brothers. It was my mother's side of the family. And we'd send out the catalog in January. We'd start shipping those out. Because people get these catalogs, and you still see some seed catalogs that come through, but everything's online now. But you would get that catalog, and you're sitting in the house, and it's cold and blustery, and you're looking out at snow, and you're looking at these flowers and vegetables and fruits, and you start putting together your order. See, people buy more when it's cold and they're looking forward to spring. That's why we'd send the catalog out when we did, and then ship the plants to them in March, April, depending on where they lived. It's always good looking forward to a garden. But it doesn't always work out quite as well as what we plan in our head. We think of the pictures that we see in those catalogs. Everything's beautiful. But it doesn't always work out like the pictures are. You know, the first 34 verses of Mark chapter 4, there's four parables. Three of them are about seeds. You're growing up farming. I love when they have parables or talking about seeds or agriculture. You know, a seed. If you ask me, a seed is mysterious. In college, I took agronomy classes. I took horticulture classes. And you get into the science of seeds. There's still mystery in a seed. My sister made a needlepoint wall hanging when probably I was late high school, early college or something. It said, "Who plants a seed beneath the sod and waits to see believes in God." Well, when she gave that to me, I only kind of vaguely believed in God. But I loved putting seeds in the ground. You know, there's something about that. You put that seed under, you know, the agronomy teacher said it's soil. You don't call it dirt. You put it under the dirt, and it sits there. And if you mess with it, you'll mess it up. But you just let the seed sit there until the conditions are right. And then the roots start going down for the moisture and to anchor the plant. And the stems and the leaves go up seeking out the light. There's mystery in seeds. Some seeds can sit for years. They were excavating Herod the Great's palace in Masada. Now, Herod the Great was the one that was king when Jesus was born. He's the one that wiped out all the boys 2 years and younger in Bethlehem, trying to make sure he wiped out the king of the Jews. So they were excavating King Herod's palace, and they found some seeds. They were date palm seeds. And somebody decided to try to germinate those seeds. They were excavated in 1973. They sat in a desk drawer for over 30 years. And somebody decided to take 2,000-year-old seeds and see if they would grow. So they put them in the soil, and she planted them in January. And in March, you could start seeing the ground crack a little bit. And they ended up with a male date palm tree growing. So they took some of the other seeds and they planted them, and they ended up with some female date palm trees growing. And since then, they have gotten fruit from 2,000-year-old seeds. That little seed can just sit there until the moisture and temperature and the conditions are just right. And then it grows life where it looked like there was no life. The third of the four parables that Jesus tells in Mark chapter 4 begins at verse 26. Jesus also said, This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a seed that is planted. It's like a mystery of a seed. When the conditions are just right, it grows. It may sit for minutes or it may sit for years. But once the seed is planted, it's there. And there is potential for growth. We can't make it grow. We can just help make the conditions right for growth. Jesus planted the seed, and the kingdom of God is growing. And it's growing throughout his creation. It's growing in the hearts of those he created. After his resurrection in John's gospel, John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus shows up to the disciples as they're locked in a room, and he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. So just as Jesus planted seeds, he calls us to plant seed. We go out and we scatter the seed as we tell others about Jesus. We tell about his life and death and resurrection. We tell about what he has done in our lives. And we invite them to join us as we follow Jesus. And as that seed lands on hearts and they turn to Jesus, that seed begins to grow. We can't make the seed grow, though. We have to trust God to make the seed grow. We can try to help make sure the conditions are right for germination. But you can shout, you can sing, you can praise the seed in the ground. None of that helps it grow. We wait. We try to keep optimal conditions for growth. And then we just start watching for growth. I grew up going to church. We went on Sunday mornings. I don't know if I ever heard about a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to church is just what we did on Sundays during the school year. We didn't even go in the summer. But something happened. About the time I turned 30, a seed someone had sown somewhere along the way. I can't tell you who it was or when it was, but a seed began to grow. The first parable in chapter 4 of Mark's gospel is probably one of Jesus' best known parables. There's this extravagant farmer, and he is just throwing seed. He's sowing seed all over the place. Now, when you broadcast seed, that's kind of the way it is. You know, it's different than planting in rows. We used to plant rye as a cover crop, and we would just put it in like a fertilizer spreader and drive through the fields, and you're throwing seed all over the place. And then we'd come in and lightly disc it in. That's the way seed was planted in the Middle East in Jesus' day. Some seed, when we threw it out there, was on the lane. Down around Salisbury, we didn't have any rocks. We didn't have to worry about that. But some of it went outside the area that we were tending. Maybe it was in a ditch. Maybe it was in the woods. But wherever the seed falls, there's potential for growth. The potential is in the seed. But the condition of the soil affects the growth of the seed. You can have the very best seed money can buy, but if you have bad soil or no soil, the seed won't grow. And Jesus, in his parable, tells about four different kinds of soil. The seed is the same. And he doesn't say, hey, just take this seed and put it on the good soil. Some of the seed, he says, fell on the path. Birds came and ate them before they could take root. And Jesus said, that's the word that's sown, but the devil grabs it before it can take root in a person. Many of us have been there. And maybe that's where I was growing up. Maybe I heard about a relationship with Jesus, but that seed just fell and it was hard soil and it got snatched back up. We hear a sermon. We have someone share about Jesus with us. We don't have any interest. The ground's just too hard. It never takes root. Then the next kind of soil is rocky soil. Seed takes root, but that soil's just shallow. News about Jesus is received with joy. We like the idea of Jesus. There's a lot of people like the idea of Jesus. But as soon as trouble or persecution comes, go right back to the same old life. You know, we respond like that to a lot of things. You know, we hear of a weight loss plan and we're going to give it a try, this new diet. But before long, we're going right back to our old habit. Or we begin the year and we're going to go to the gym on a regular basis. But it's easier to get out of the habit than to get into the habit of going. You know, how many New Year's resolutions have died in a very short order? That's why the second Sunday in January is called Quitter's Day. Because everybody's got a plan, but they just quit. And we respond the same way to Jesus. We come to Jesus. We come wanting something. And when he doesn't respond the way we want him to respond, when trouble comes, persecution comes, things don't work out like we want, we drift away. Because we want to tell Jesus how to be Jesus. We want to tell him how to work in our lives. We want him to be that vending machine in the sky and we say, hey, here's what I want, give it to me. Or we want him the genie in the bottle that we pull out when we want something from him. And Jesus doesn't work that way. Years ago, before I knew I was even being called into ministry, there was a guy came to our church. And I came alongside him and was discipling him. He had accepted Jesus while at work. A guy from our church worked with him, and that seed began to grow. So he started coming to our church, and I came alongside of him. He had gotten in trouble. He'd been arrested for possession of marijuana. And I met with him weekly for a Bible study. And each week, as he was waiting trial, he was praying that he wouldn't get any jail time. So I continued to remind him that though Jesus forgives us of our sins, sometimes there's still consequences for our actions. And we can pray for grace. When his time in court finally arrived, he ended up getting jail time with work release. I thought that was a pretty good deal. But he stopped coming to church, stopped meeting for Bible study, stopped taking my calls. See, the seed took root, but when trouble came, it withered because it didn't have deep roots. How many times have we heard a sermon or read a devotion or maybe even God spoke to us as we were reading Scripture? The Holy Spirit convicts us. We decide we're going to do things differently, and we begin on the new path only to find ourselves right back in the same old place. Our roots aren't deep enough to sustain us through the trouble. That is when we need our brothers and sisters who come alongside of us. People who will disciple us. People we give permission to speak into our lives. Hold us accountable. Tell us the things that we need to hear that we don't want to hear. People who can help us deepen our roots so that we can get beyond the rocks into that deeper, good soil. People who will hold us up when we can't even hold ourselves up. Then we come to what I think may be the most common type soil in the church. Jesus says, still others like seed sown among thorns hear the word, But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Going back to that spring garden. Yeah, starting the garden is easy compared to maintaining a garden. How many gardens have started out great? The soil is tilled. The rows are marked out. The seeds are planted. We keep up with the weeding. We're doing great. We're keeping the plants watered. But there's a tipping point somewhere where the weeds all of a sudden seem to grow way better than anything we're trying to keep growing. And it seems like overnight the weeds take over. See, spiritually, Jesus says that's the deceitfulness of wealth, desire for other things that sneak in and choke out the word. If we are not diligent about keeping the weeds out, they will take over our lives. We start out, well, I'm just going to miss church this week. I'm just going to miss small group or prayer or devotions or reading scripture or whatever. Just this one time. Then another, and then another, and then another. And next thing you know, you look around and you say, hold on, I haven't been to church in months. I haven't been to small group in months. I haven't read my Bible or spent time in prayer in who knows how long. Again, that's why we need each other. That is why Scripture speaks of the body of Christ, each part supporting every other part. That's why the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day coming. Like it or not, we need each other. If we are going to be fruitful in our spiritual lives, we need each other. Now, fruitful does not just mean bringing others into the kingdom of God, but producing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then the fourth soul. That's the soul where Jesus wants the seed to fall. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Same seed, different souls. This parable with the four souls, along with the third parable, the one about the seed, remind us that our job, our calling, really what Jesus instructs us to do is sow the seed. It is not our job to judge what kind of soil it is out there and place the seed only on what we think is good soil. I've seen plants growing in concrete because they find a little crack and the roots go down and find some good soil. We don't know what's really good soil. Though it might look like it's hard ground, there might be some good soil in there. We look at people and think, well, there's no need to throw any seed out there. That's hard soil there. There's no chance of it growing. Those decisions are beyond our pay grade. We don't decide where to sow. We just throw it out there. Let it take root. We disciple people. Come alongside them. Help them get their roots down deep. When trouble comes, they've got what they need to persevere. We can help each other keep the weeds down, hold each other accountable when the deceitfulness of wealth and desires of other things come. If we try to live our lives following Jesus all alone, oh, I can do it by myself. I don't need church. I don't need a small group. I don't need other people. I can be a Christian without that. If that's our attitude, we're prone to fall and fall hard. But if we gather with others and we are real, that's why we're Real Life Chapel, okay? If we're real with those that we can trust, we can overcome. We can dig our roots down deep and produce a crop. And we get to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of others as we watch the kingdom of God grow in us and grow around us. The last of the seed parables in Mark chapter 4 begins at verse 30. It's about a mustard seed. It says, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. First, do not let Satan snatch the seed away by being distracted. Is the mustard seed, in fact, the smallest seed on the earth? Does it grow to be the biggest plant? If you're asking those questions, you've missed the entire message Jesus is trying to give us. If you think the Bible is an agronomy book, we need to talk. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, starts off small, seemingly insignificant, like a mustard seed. Jesus, one man. Really, we go back. One embryo grows in Mary's womb, is born, grows up to be a man. One seed. Then Jesus, his ministry begins. He says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now it's beginning to sprout. It's beginning to grow. And he called four fishermen from down Tilman to follow him. And the crowds began to hear about this healing ministry. And the crowds begin to come. And then he finds this tax collector, Levi. He says, follow me. And Levi comes and brings all these other tax collectors and sinners along. And then he calls the 12 that he instructs as apostles. These are ones he's going to send out to continue his ministry of healing and casting out demons and talking about the kingdom of God. And then after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit came upon the church. 120 people gathered in a prayer meeting. And it was like Miracle-Gro on the plants. On that day, on Pentecost, Peter got up and preached the first sermon of the church. And he explained that Jesus was the Messiah. And he was killed. He was hung on a cross. But he rose from the dead on the third day. And as he spoke, seeds are being sown to all those who gathered around thinking they were drunk. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're told 3,000 were saved that day. Then you move to Acts 2:47, we're told, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then we get to chapter 4, verse 4 of Acts, and Peter and John healed a crippled man. And they began to preach, letting people know, hey, that man wasn't healed by us. It was in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, that he was healed. Peter and John, they're just throwing seeds out there. Whoever gathers around, they're going to share what's going on. Pray that some of that seed might fall on some good soil. Then Peter and John get arrested. But we're told in Acts 4:4, but many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. That little mustard seed continued to grow until Christianity spread throughout the known world. And now, you and I, those in whom the seed is growing are called to also sow the seed wherever we go. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is breaking into this fallen world for over 2,000 years now, and it continues to take root, and it continues to grow. The next parable is kind of stuck in the middle of all these ones about seeds. Really, it's kind of some sayings in the middle of it. Jesus said to them, this is Mark 4:21. Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. In other words, that's really pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. See, as Jesus is telling these parables, he is trying to help us understand what the kingdom of God is like. He's trying to explain something that's way up here and bringing it down to something we can understand by talking about seeds and plants and light. And he says, if anyone has ears, let them hear. Pay attention to what I'm saying, and then you can see. Allow the seed to penetrate into your heart. God wants to reveal the fullness of the kingdom of God to us, but we have to be receptive to the seed in order for it to grow. Hard hearts that receive good news don't receive it. Just as a seed on the path was snatched up by birds, those who refuse to hear will miss the kingdom of God and all its benefit. And he talks about a lamp. He says, you don't hide a lamp. It's meant to shine. Just like seed is scattered, light is broadcast out from the lamp for all to see. Remember what Jesus said in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, I send you. We are to shine his light. We are to scatter his seed. We are to be active participants in the growth of the kingdom of God. Like growing a garden, it takes work. We have to constantly keep up, breaking up the soil, removing the weeds, allowing God to bring the increase. So how's your garden doing? Is your heart too hard to allow Jesus to penetrate it? You hear it. You know about it. You say, I don't want Jesus messing with my life. Or do you just follow Jesus when everything's going the way you want it to? Or are you allowing the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things, the busyness of life to choke out your relationship with Jesus because you become inattentive or complacent? Or is the soul good? Are you a disciple of Jesus, following him while making disciples, encouraging others to join you as you follow Jesus? These parables speak to all of us, no matter where we are in our walk. And Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he took it, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus invites those who follow him and those who want to follow him to come and receive the bread and the juice, the body and the blood. It's kind of like that seed. We're saying, I want you in my life. I want you to transform my life. And we come to the table and Jesus gives a physical way for us to participate in what he did for us by dying on the cross for us. But before you come this morning, I invite you to spend a little bit of time talking to Jesus and asking him to reveal to you what kind of soil would describe you this morning. If your heart's hard like the path and seed just bounces off and snatched away, I'd encourage you to ask Jesus to break up that hard heart, to ask him to come into your life as your Lord and your Savior. And maybe you're looking and saying, yeah, I'm okay when things are good. Kind of like that rocky soil takes root. But my faith can't handle when trouble comes. Fair weather follower of Jesus, I'd encourage you to ask him, clear out some of the rocks in your life. Ask him to give you some good soil. You surrender a little more ground to Jesus. And if you have thorns choking out your plants, maybe it's time to ask Jesus what needs to go. Allow him to clear out your schedule and clear out the things that you're concerned about in life. And if you got some good soil, ask Jesus to help you scatter more seed. Others can come to know and follow him. Lord, you know our hearts. We deceive ourselves. Lord, I thank you that you continuously reach out to us. I thank you that your people continue to scatter seed. Potential for growth is always there. Potential to follow you is always there. Lord, I pray that this morning you will reveal to each one of us where we are in our relationship with you and where we are in that growth that you want to take place in us, where we are in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender to you the things that are in the way of our relationship with you, in the way of us being fruitful, in the way of us being true followers and disciples of Jesus. So Lord, as we prepare to come and receive the bread and the juice, your body and blood, Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. And as we receive this bread and juice, that it would be for us your body and blood and would take root in us and continue that process of transforming our lives so we can be more and more like Jesus. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.